The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.
Can you just ask me if I'm right? There'd be some many answers I could have to that, but this is the
far from
this
it.
Is the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast. This is the put your helmet on, double chin strap style, lock yourself in roller coaster style, because three games to go and absolutely anything could happen. A bit like the old sort of crazy horse cinema. Can you hear it? Did you ever pop in there?
No, I never did.
Never did.
No, the one on, there's one on.
There's always been a few of them lurking.
What's the one near the major tram stop in
Flinders Street?
Yes,
there's one there. And there was interesting trips, field trips. You learnt plenty on those to the.
with St. Joseph's.
To the crazy
horse. Would you disappear sort of when you're on those sort of field trips to Melbourne and find yourself going downstairs?
Potentially. Potentially. Did you ever not do that?
No.
I never did it in my school uniform.
No, I wouldn't have thought.
No, more as you sort of mature a little bit and then you find yourself just lurking there. But anyway.
Are the cats lurking with intent?
Well, they're not lurking crazy horse style, but are they lurking with intent, Kingy? Well, they're lurking because they're just outside the eight. It was a good win on Saturday night, albeit they were helped when, you know, the plague from the 1400s went through Port Adelaide. Mm. I mean, losing Finlayson, Bergman, Dixon, on top of Alir, so good they named him twice. They were hamstrung, and then they obviously lost McKenzie during the game,
yep,
which hurt them even more. Their back line was
threadbare.
Yes, and Geelong, look, Geelong won. How would you say the midfield battle went? I mean, you think of the stats that Butters, Horn, Francis and Rosie had in relation to the Cats midfielders. They probably had their pants pulled down, but
they did enough.
They did enough, yeah. I mean, it's going to be another test this week, another big test, even without Nick Dacos.
No Murphy?
No, he's playing.
Is he right, is he?
Apparently.
All right. No side bottom, though.
Side bottom out, yeah, and he usually kills the Cats, so that helps. Murphy apparently. So Murphy must have been watching a lot of soccer. And he's gone down, like
grassy
not
knoll.
Only has he been shot from the grassy knoll, but he's been put in some sort of Nikolai Volkov camel clutch. And he was like, they were basically preparing a bag for him on the sidelines. I saw it. They weren't getting a stretcher, they were getting a bag. And he's playing, apparently.
Right.
He trained yesterday fully. So did Adams and Mitchell. They both got injured in that game, came off injured. They're both playing as well. So
6 day turnaround.
Yeah, I think Murphy was just going out in sympathy with the soccer. Because, Fanny, have you watched any of that?
I have watched. The Matildas have been good.
All right. Yeah, they've been good. And it's a very skillful game, and the girls are very skillful.
Yes.
And there's some teams are better to watch than others.
Yeah.
I like watching the Swedish team.
Very skilled.
Extraordinarily skilled.
Didn't they knock the Yanks out?
They've lovely to watch. Lovely ball movement. And, you know, just extraordinary. The Norwegian team, Danes, they got beaten by the Aussies, but they're very skillful, but this penchant in soccer for just dropping onto the ground, I know everyone's spoken about it 1,000 times, but it ruins the game.
Is that a penchant or a penchant?
Oh, it's penchant means a... Like
yeah,
a,
I know what it means.
So it just annoys you, doesn't it? Because when you watch the replay and it's slow-mo replay, no one's been touched.
No.
So it frustrates you watching it because the girls don't do them, or the boys either. They don't do themselves any favours dropping onto the ground. I mean, if there's a genuine injury, right, but they just flop and talk about milking it.
Mm.
You know, like they milk it to the nth degree and unfortunately just the refs sometimes fall for it. But anyway...
Can we talk about the Cats?
Yeah, we can.
So looking at the Cats...
They're not milking much.
No, looking at the Cats. So this week, Collingwood, and looking at the other games of the round of the teams around them. So Sydney this weekend should beat the Gold Coast, which would take them to 46. Although Gold Coast have actually had a really good record recently in Sydney. I think they've tipped them over a couple of times in the last few years at the SCG.
They're coming off a trip to Adelaide, though.
Hawthorn and the Bulldogs, Doggies, even though Hawthorn beat Collingwood last week.
Yeah, Doggies should have too much in the midfield.
Yep. St Kilda, Richmond... Now, Trent Cotchin has announced his retirement this morning. There's been a retirement at the Cats too, but we'll touch on Trent Cotchin.
I think Richmond
first.
Have turned their toes up.
Yeah, so they're done?
Well.
Because they're a game and a half out with three
players.
I mean,
they were putrid last week.
Yeah.
They were horrible.
Yeah. They would need to get level on point. They need to get past Geelong and Sydney because they've got a draw in there as well. Geelong and Sydney have a draw as well. And Geelong and Sydney's superior percentage means Richmond are playing finals. So it's only whether they lift for the last few games for...
No, I think they've turned their toes.
So St Kilda
what
ones
I saw last
so
week.
Carlton and Melbourne.
That's a big game.
So Carlton...
We want Melbourne to win that.
So if Melbourne beat Carlton, they'll stay on 46. The Dogs and St Kilda we expect to go to 48. The result that Geelong needs going their way is Port Adelaide beating GWS in Adelaide.
And Port Adelaide, they need to win now. They don't want to be losing five on the dangle. And there's been merit in two of their losses against the Cats and Pies, but the other two were horrible. They need to get back on the winning track, which is good for the Cats, but how well are they going? GWS are a very consistent team this year. Mm. You'd have to think the home side, they're very difficult to beat there. Port have got to be going in as red hot favourites, I would have thought.
Yep. So the Cats, I think even if they were to win this weekend, Geelong might find themselves still out of...
If the Cats win?
Yeah.
If the Cats win this week, they'll play finals.
Yeah, but they might find themselves still out depending on whether the Giants can beat Port Adelaide in Adelaide.
Potentially, but I still think if they can win this week, they'll be playing finals.
Okay, and if they lose?
Well, if they lose, then they can still play finals, but obviously the other results become even more of
then
a
you
factor.
Become mathematical.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be mathematical.
You're relying on others, Kingy, which is never a good thing because they can let you down.
How many games of footy has Isaac Smith got left? Has he got three? Has he got seven? Has he got five? Has he got four? Or has he got six?
How many has he got left, Kingy? Well, he's got three, definitely.
Mm.
Beyond that.
I don't think he's got more than three.
He's had a great career, hasn't he?
Mm.
And he's pulling the pin, which is, you know, I mean, we've spoken about it. It was probably time. He recognised that. He goes out with a career that somebody was signing up for. Because, I mean, he wasn't drafted till he was, what, 21, 22?
So he debuted as a 22-year-old.
Did he play at Redan?
He did. So he's from southern New South Wales.
Yeah.
Came down to get on North Ballarat's VFL list. Had Redan as his...
Home club.
As his home club. I think he started at Redan and then North Ballarat took an interest in him rather than coming down to play with North Ballarat.
Yeah.
And then from there, obviously...
How many games he played?
He's played 277, so he's going to finish up with at
least
280.
He's been durable, hasn't he, for a sort of a skinny arrangement?
So other than his last season at Hawthorn and his first season at Hawthorn, he hasn't played less than 19 games.
Yeah, he's been unbelievably durable. And he's got a game for the modern game. You know, he's winning contested ball is not his go. That's not a knock. That's just how he plays, and you've got to have players like that. He's got a running machine. He's never really had any, that I can recall, any soft tissue injuries that have, you know, sometimes come with the territory of being a running machine. He's skillful. He kicks goals. And the other thing too, Kingy, is that he played his career predominantly in very, very good teams, which helps.
Yeah.
And his game suits the team that is playing well. And it's not a knock. That's just you've got to have he's the cream in a good team because he'll finish. And he proved that last year with the Cats. I mean, grand final was no greater example. He's probably Kingy. And, I mean, we're obviously not following him as closely at Hawthorn, but... To me,
we did see a lot of him. We caught a lot of Hawthorn.
But in terms of sort of forensically analysing his performances, he's been what you would classify as a pretty good big game player.
Yes,
he's played well in big games, which is not something that everybody can hang their hat on. And he's played in a lot of big games too, which has helped. But right from the get go, he signalled himself as a player who was going to stand up when the stakes were at their highest. And we saw that, albeit they had a romp against Sydney, we saw that last year at the. In the grand final.
What does he have in common with Billy Brownless and Gary Ablett Sr.?
What does he have in common with Gary Ablett and Billy Brownless? Doesn't like training.
He won Geelong a final with a kick after the siren.
He did he? Yes.
Playing
he did. He did. Well... I remember I was there that day against the Bulldogs when Billy kicked that goal.
In 94, qualifying
final. I remember that,
Mitch.
Yeah. We were gassing, I was gassing wildly then. I was absolutely toasted when that went.
Because Richard Osborne kicked a goal
very late to put them
in front. Yeah. And then the clearance out of the middle, Mench hits up Brownless and
I think
Billy's dined out for 29 years.
Was it Sandy Roberts?
Yes.
Who said that
Billy, you are king of Geelong.
Yep. And that
he had two of the great calls, Sandy Robinson. He had Billy, you are king of Geelong, mm-hmm. but he also had the what more can you say?
No, that was Ian Robinson.
No, what more you can say was Sandy Roberts.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, against Collingwood in 89 in the wet, that was Sandy Roberts.
Right.
What more can you say?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Sorry. Sandy's not well.
No, he isn't. No.
So he was a
wonderful caller, Sandy Roberts.
Yeah,
he was very good in the big games. He was Isaac Smith. He was actually Isaac Smith.
Did he lift it? Did he struggle a little bit, sort of Fitzroy versus North Melbourne?
Round 12 Junction Oval, 1984, he probably.
Well, sometimes, because that's harder to call in those games. You've got to, sometimes you can drift off and say things you shouldn't, Kingy, which I do a bit. And the Cats games.
Thankfully, Geelong have kept us sort of interested.
They've either been getting whipped or doing the whipping this year.
What's Geelong's biggest loss this year? Was it the...
biggest loss.
Fremantle in Perth, 29 points.
Yeah, well, they got hammered by Gold Coast, didn't they?
Ah, yes, they did too. That margin got pulled back, didn't it?
It wasn't ideal. Was a bad night that night. They were stink bombs that night.
19 points.
Okay, cool. But I reckon it blew out 1 point to 30 or 40.
Let me have a look.
It was a diabolical performance, Kingy. That's a technical term.
The margin at its greatest in that game.
Yes.
Was 19 points.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seemed worse.
Yeah, Geelong would, Geelong would never win that.
25 points. Lacocious goal. Geelong kicked a late goal.
Is that when Lacocious kicked the goal from 900 metres out?
He did.
He kicked the longest set shot goal I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was to put them in front in the second
quarter. Wasn't even a barrel.
Quarter.
It was a drop punt. Mm. It was about like 68 metres or something.
And we still talk about it.
Yeah.
So Isaac Smith, congratulations. Wonderful career.
Yeah, been great.
Wonderful service. And he was a player that you enjoyed watching from an opposition team.
No, I don't enjoy watching any of your players from the opposition teams. I never have.
Haven't you?
Ben Cunnington was one.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He retired.
He's retiring?
Yeah. No, I never liked watching anyone from Hawthorn.
Didn't you?
Nah.
No, really?
I didn't like
Didn't enjoy watching Cyril play?
Nah.
No?
Nah, I didn't enjoy that, Kingy.
Did you enjoy Kappa standing on people's heads in the 80s?
Not really.
No?
I liked Gary Ablett Sr.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was my favourite. So
didn't enjoy Judd at full
flight? I don't like opposition players.
No. They don't like you.
No, possibly. No, I don't really get in. I don't enjoy. I mean, yeah, I suppose I can appreciate. I don't know if I enjoy.
Right.
No, I never really. I haven't thought about that, Tom, but I don't. It's not something that's right in my wheelhouse of enjoying opposition players.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like the game for the game.
Yeah.
The aesthetics of it.
Yeah.
And watching the really good players go at it. Like, I loved watching Chris Judd play.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed watching Gary Ablett Jr. play at the Gold Coast.
Yeah, well, true. Well, we had an invested. We sort of had an interest there, Kingy, didn't we? Because he was a Cat. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm sort of a bit like, liking. I suppose I like watching racehorses that aren't in our stable, but. Anyway, it's different. Mm. They've got four legs and a tail.
And you can bet on it.
Yeah,
gamble responsibly.
Perfect.
It's true.
The more you bet, the more you win.
The catch changes this week. They're going to have to make one definite because Jack Henry, that's his great season over.
Yeah, it's disappointing. It's the third serious foot injury.
Well, it was a Liz Frank. It's a bit different. Liz Frank.
I used to go out with a girl. Her surname was Liz, and her first name was Liz, and her surname was Frank.
Did you?
Yeah.
Right. I'll leave that story there, Benny, I suspect. Yeah, but that's a blow, but what it does do is it means Sava Radicalea plays out the season.
Do you reckon?
Yep.
Oh, I wouldn't write that in. I wouldn't pencil that in.
Well, he's playing this week. Well, I don't know for certain, but he won't.
Well, they've got Mychek and... That's it, really.
Ash Johnson.
Yeah, but Ash Johnson's...
No, Cox didn't play. Cox didn't play last week.
Didn't he come in?
No. I'm pretty sure he played in the twos.
I thought he was brought back in.
No, I'm pretty
or
sure.
Maybe he kicked a goal in the twos.
Pretty sure he
I
played.
Thought they produced him back into the side, but they don't have much in the way of tall timber up forward, Kingy. Absolutely donuts. They got Johnson, who's one... He's a mid-size sort of player who can leap, and they've got Mychek, who's a mid-size sort of player who can mark it over his head.
So Johnson 193.
Yeah, so that's Jake Collar-Jazzy's 193.
Darcy Cameron.
Well, he's their ruckman.
He'll spend a bit of time forward.
Yeah, but so DeConing...
McStay?
DeConing plays on... Well, what's McStay in 196?
There you go, to McStay, 195.
With no Henry. Yeah, I mean, you're probably right. Radicalea does go in, but I wouldn't just be carte blanche saying that he is going to be playing for the rest of the year.
It could be the French. And we've got Ponchon in. We've got carte blanche.
Yep. And we got the Swedish soccer team in.
Yeah, we did get the Swedish soccer team in. I still, it's funny, and I think you've had the same feeling too through the year. Collingwood, Geelong don't fear Collingwood.
Geelong don't fear anyone.
No, I know they don't fear anyone, but I think they're one that they look at and go, we actually think we're a pretty good chance against them.
Well, that's probably part of, they fell over the line against them in the final last year.
The qualifying.
Yeah, when part of that probably stemmed from Collingwood spent a few years being pretty ordinary.
Mm.
But Geelong don't fear anyone. I think, you know, they'll trot out the line that we play our game. If we get to play our game and play it well, you know, all that sort of drivel that we can win, which is probably correct. I just wonder, you know, the Cats aren't, their midfield, we mention it every week, midfield is thin.
Does Parfitt need to start?
I thought he was pretty good, Kingy, for somebody who actually didn't have a kick.
8 handballs.
He had 8 hand passes.
Only laid one tackle.
He played with a bit of zest, which he needs to do, obviously, because he's playing for his footballing future at Geelong.
Well, he does have another year on his
contract. He does, but I mean, that won't mean, say, the Cats wouldn't move him on and he'd request a trade. Can you find him somewhere where I can actually play? But he actually played with a real enthusiasm. So I'd be surprised if they left him out, given that there's no Blitzavs, no Guthrie. Mm. Give him full game time and, you know, hope that he can... he would have got a little bit of confidence out of that game, playing in a win, coming on, getting 8 touches, did a couple of good things. From memory, I reckon he should have set up the goal to Dangerfield, who missed it. And there was one other passage of play where he was involved, where the Cats, I can't remember whether they kicked a goal or scored, where he was directly involved. So I think... I'm hoping that he gets another crack, because I've always rated him as a player, and we've said it quite a few times. We have no idea why this season has gone up in a puff of smoke for him, but it has. But he's got the talent.
Mm. The midfield mix looked a bit different at times last week.
Well, they've had to throw the magnets around. Yeah. I don't know if that's sustainable.
Duncan spent some time in
there. Well, he has to, and that's probably not...
Close was in there at times. Close. I was probably trying to get him into the game
a little bit. Yeah, he struggled last week. First kick was a goal.
Yeah, then it was in the last quarter.
Yeah, he didn't actually get a kick until the last quarter. Which, in fairness, that can happen playing the position he plays.
Starvation corner.
Yeah, Hager was Myers. Stengel's the same, but he's probably had a poorer year than Close. They can throw that ranking. I don't know if that's a sustainable... philosophy to have, having guys like Close and Stengel putting them into the middle. I don't know about that being a long-term solution to much. If it throws the mix around and, you know, for the odd centre bounce or the odd clearance and they can generate, yeah, I mean, I think Close is probably good in that situation because he thinks quick, he is quick, and he's quite good with sleight of hand handball. So I think he can do that, but yeah, I don't know if I'd be hanging my hat on that being a something you run with, especially against the Pies. I know no Dacos, no Sidebottom, but, you know, they've Pendlebury, Adams, Tom Mitchell.
How's Mitchell? Because Mitchell came off as a... Well, had to be subbed off.
They're suggesting that they all trained yesterday.
Right.
Fully for Collingwood. All those players who were injured, bar, obviously, now they're saying Sidebottom's out and Dacos. The rest of them all trained.
Does Buse have to come back for Elliot?
Well, we spoke about this, and you were onto this, but hindsight's great, but...
He should have been playing last week.
I don't understand why he wasn't, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, the previous week they had Cameron. Previous week, when they played Brisbane, Jeremy Cameron. Oh, no, sorry, it was Fremantle. So Fremantle, they had...
Michael Walters.
Walters and Schultz. Now, Busey, from memory, King, you'll know, he was out that game, wasn't he? Like, not available.
He
played in the twos.
He played in the twos after the Freo game. I think they played the day after.
Yeah, and they whipped someone.
Yeah.
So he was available technically, maybe giving him one game off that little surgery he had.
Yep.
Yeah, fine, okay. So let's say benefit of the doubt there. Wasn't maybe 100%. Get a game into him, fine. Next week they play Brisbane.
Yep.
You got Charlie Cameron, who he's played on before. Didn't play him. Yep. Put Jake Colajazzi on him. He looked pretty threatening against Colajazzi, didn't he?
Yeah.
Jake Colajazzi, I maintain, he is not equipped to play on the slippery forwards.
Yep.
He's equipped to play on blokes that are bigger than him. He's equipped to play on blokes who maybe are more marking options than they are ground level options. And guys who are pretty much straight line players, that's his go. not that slippery side-to-side, really athletic, agile, small forward in the fashion of Charlie Cameron. Okay, so they probably think, yeah, made a bit of a blue there, Charlie. Although Charlie Cameron didn't kick a lot of goals, he did look slippery.
Yep.
Next week they play against Port Adelaide.
Yeah, but Buse wasn't right for the Brisbane game, I don't think.
Well, that's what they said, but it seemed a bit weird that he...
Yep.
So then they play Port. You got Willie Rioli.
Then they played Freo the week after. They went Brisbane, Freo, Port.
Oh, sorry, Schultz. So they had Schultz and Walters and then Willie Rioli.
Yep.
And they put Jay Colajazzi and Willie Rioli again. And he got absolutely tailed. Mm. Kick four. Like, anyway, he's your lockdown small forward with the agility to go with those sorts of players.
If anybody's going to beat Geelong, it's going to be the like of a Jamie Elliott. And if it's not Elliott,
the thing is, Elliott, the irony there, though, Kingy, is that Elliott, even though he is small, is actually more of a leading marking player.
Yeah. And Buse has got the can run with
him. He can, but I mean, he's one that Colajazzi potentially is better equipped to take on.
Averages a goal and a half against Geelong.
Elliott, he's having a ripping season.
Yep.
He's having an absolute cracking season. He's nearly their biggest threat up forward.
So he's kicked 31 goals, 20. Kicked 3 goals last week. Carlton kept him goalless.
So do you reckon Buse comes back in? Because if they've left him out last week, I think Colajazzi is better equipped to take on Elliott.
Chris Scott's media conference is just before we recorded this, so we haven't had any information come out of that. So until the team comes out Thursday night, I don't know what it's going to look like. But I'd be shocked if Buse isn't back because he didn't play last week. There was no footy for him. The VFL didn't play. So you'd hope that he's back playing footy this week. If not, he's playing in the VFL again.
Yeah, he is.
And there's only a couple of VFL games left too. The VFL season's got two to go. I think they've just got to get... So VFL season's got two to go, which is interesting because the talk is they'll get Cam Guthrie a game in the VFL.
Well, which is good. Good news. Is it not this week?
Next week, hopefully.
Right. Well, any game he plays is good because he's going to need a few to get anywhere close to... And he's not going to be right this year, let's be honest. He's not going to be Cam Guthrie winning best and fairest type form. He's going to be a bit player, and let's just hope he can get to 70% of his output because he's been out of the game all year pretty much. So, it'd be interesting to see what they do with Henry out. You'd think that opens the door for Buse to come back. Gary Rowan, is he okay?
Yes, they expect him to play.
Has he come off at the drop of a hat, Gary Rowan?
Don't know.
He seems to sort of get injured a lot and then be all right and off and limping and then back on again and then limping. And
what are you saying, Ben?
Don't know.
He just seems to
sort of cop a lot of knocks that comes off for
him. Bit unfortunate.
Well, possibly.
Yeah, sometimes the wrong place, wrong time.
Hypochondriac.
Settle down. tough sport to play, Benny, at the highest level.
No, it is, King. Yeah, look, he's always getting knocks. Everyone gets knocks.
And do you know what, too?
The knock?
Does he have maybe some mental demons that came with the leg being injured, seriously injured all those years ago and, cops a knock and, maybe he's thinking the worst straight up?
Yeah, well, that could be 100% correct.
Yeah. Could be. Howler 41. Some questions, Benny.
Yep.
Good win, albeit Port had many good players missing. Having said that, to be 8 points down against a top four side and get home to keep season alive was a good effort. Myers was superb. Ollie Henry kicking four was great. Ollie Henry's season just probably went to another level last week, didn't it?
We spoke about this on Saturday. I'm staggered that some people suggest he should have been in the team. There was some small faction of buffoons, Geelong supporters, who were thinking he shouldn't be in the team.
Mm.
Must kick 32 snags. He's on track.
34.
He's on track to kick 40.
And he's actually running. He actually runs at 66%. He's kicked 34. Yeah,
he's
18.
Quite an accurate kick.
Mm.
Oh, look, he's a gun.
Yeah.
Not right now, but he will be.
He's going to be a superstar.
He enjoyed a little bit more freedom without Tom Hawkins in the side last week.
Yep.
And it showed why. Kicked four, probably could have kicked five. He's dynamic. He's a dynamic player. He attacks the ball in the air. He's quick. He's got good endurance. He's got good skill. And he has a capacity to sort of bob up out of nowhere and kick you a goal. He can kick goals in a variety of different ways. He's not necessarily limited to marking. He can do that. And he's good on the ground and he's agile. Mm. He's got every base covered. Wait till he's played 125 games and he's 25, 26. He'll be a 50 to 60. He could be a 60 game forward.
Mm.
As a what is he, 188?
186.
186. So there
six,
you go.
One, 6-1.5.
Yeah. He could be a he'll be an absolute nightmare matchup because he can do it in a variety of ways. And he can take a screamer on top of that.
Mm. Parfitt showed a bit, can hopefully build from there. Clearance is our weakness and he can help.
Yes.
I do not want us chasing Lysette. It would be like divorcing your cousin to marry your other cousin. Give Stanley another year. Grundy would be handy. Stanley then becomes the backup, also known as the Segler role this year, whilst Loch Ness Conway develops. That's caught on.
Yes. I do agree with that. I mean, if Lysette's the last man standing and he's the only one you can get, then you probably...
Yeah,
Grundy
to Port Adelaide.
Yeah.
And which forces Lysette
out.
Yeah.
I do agree that it is a limited... It is a move that would be limited, but if there's nothing else that's better, I think Lysette's better than Stanley.
What does Mark O'Connor offer? What is he? Averaging 13 possessions, one clearance per game. We have enough at defenders. Surely a Nevitt would offer more offensively. Also has greatly improved his defensive work as VFL season has progressed. Can play inside or outside midfield.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, to be honest with you.
The spotlight never really shines on Mark O'Connor. He's just a solid citizen.
Well, he's just sort of a, you know, like he's just a bit of a, he's like that. Have you got any bean bags at your house?
Got a couple.
Have you?
Yep.
No one ever sits in them, do they?
My kids do.
Do they?
Yep.
Right. Well, we've got beanbag at our ranch that no one sits in. It's just like you look at it and think, why are you here? Mark O'Connor is a little bit like that. He serves a purpose, but he doesn't really. He doesn't have a position. He's not. I don't think he's agile enough to take on like a Willie Rioli or a Cameron or a. And he doesn't generate an enormous amount offensively, as that was pointed out. He's not a bad player. He's just a bit of a nothing sort of player. And he can't really go into the midfield. I don't think he reads the game well enough to go into the midfield unless you give him someone to tag. But they so rarely just have a hard tag that sort of limits that. You know, can't keep a bloke on, you know, playing because he might tag three times a year. And he can't play forward because he doesn't... Look... Yeah, he'd be one I'd look at if someone else was interested. You could do a trade there.
He's got a year to run on his contract. I wouldn't be surprised after that year he heads home.
Do you reckon?
He was weighing up going home at the end of last year.
Yeah.
And he signed another 2-year deal. But I would suspect that this might actually see Mark O'Connor out.
Yeah,
his
contract. Yep. Yeah. And, he's done a great job. But I'm not... I just think that there's so many limitations to him that you could, and I agree, Nevitt. I mean, Nevitt's probably a very different sort of player. And he, in fairness, probably can't play some of the roles that.
O'Connor can. Yeah, O'Connor can go to the midfield.
Yeah, he's a wingman, half forward, Nevitt, who'll eventually, hopefully, be an inside mid once he puts a little bit more weight on because he's 193. But yeah, I'd if someone was saying to me, do you want Nevitt to play or do you want Mark O'Connor to play? I'd probably say Nevitt.
Right. Catch of the future, good win from the boys, is what I would say if I were a Hawks fan this week. Is our midfield currently the worst in the comp?
It's certainly bottom four. Mm. Yeah. Bottom four. And it's helped, obviously, by the fact we've got a really good defence and we've got forwards who can kick goals. But it is bottom four. Without Blitzars and Guthrie, it's bottom four.
Next year, do you want Dempsey on the wing and the seniors or in the forward line but in and out of the side with a lot of sub? I'm not sold on Ollie Dempsey yet.
No, he's got a long way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's light.
He was coming from a long way back too.
Yeah, which is fine. So they give him time to develop. He's coming from a fair way back.
Yeah. Daz Broncos, for the love of all things holy, what does Neil need to do to get a game? Jezza with one arm, Hawkins out 2 weeks, Neil healthy and with three in a row in the VFL, now a bye week to rest up. Give the kid a shot, please. Don't think it's Friday night against Collingwood at the MCG.
I mean, they've got Moore and Murphy. Are you going to
stretch?
Are you going to stretch them? Probably not. And if you've got Radigalia in and you needed an emergency ruckman, he's probably capable of doing that. Because this is the one game where I don't know that there's a real matchup for Radigalia. Mm. This would be the game where I'd leave him out.
You're right.
But, I mean, who does he go to? Who do you think got their hand in the air for Radigalia to go to?
Well, who goes to McStay?
I'd say Collar Jasny to McStay.
Who goes to Mychek?
Probably.
Who goes to Johnson?
Well, I don't think Radigalia. I mean, Johnson's a bit of a more of a will of the wisp type of arrangement.
But do you back in
Stewart's that, got to go to one of them?
Do you back in that you have a?
I'd have Stewart on Ash Johnson and run off him.
Okay. Oh, I think he plays. I don't think they're dropping him.
No, I think he does too, but I just don't know that there's a real obvious match. They don't have two 200-centimetre forwards.
Yep.
So there's no obvious matchup. Cameron and if Cox was to come in and they're playing forward, you probably could go with that, although they've got De Koning. So I'd be, you know, does Collar Jasny go to Mychek maybe?
Yeah, it's doable.
Yeah, Buse comes in and goes to Elliott.
Yeah, who goes to De Goey? Or is he going to spend
Collar Jasny if he's playing forward.
Yep.
Maybe even O'Connor to play a real scragging role. I mean, midfield, they're not going to tag him, so it'll just be, you know, head-to-head. Is his form only been just De Goey over the last sort of couple of months?
He hasn't been flying.
No.
But it probably
he flies
against
the Cats.
It's probably mirrored Collingwood a little bit.
He flies against the Cats.
He does go.
He makes a habit of absolutely setting fire to us, Tom.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
He's a good player.
He's a very
He was
good
very
player.
Good in that qualifying
He's
final.
He's one I love to watch.
Yeah, there you go. He was very good in that qualifying final last year. He nearly single-handedly got Collingwood over the line.
Yeah, he's a gun. And he has troubled us. So this is the game where Henry being out is actually, yeah, makes you sort of cringe a bit because you'd rather Henry in there. And if Henry was playing, I wonder whether they'd play Radiguia.
Yep.
But you're right, they're probably going to have to.
Yeah. We'll wait and see what unfolds.
We will wait and see what unfolds. It's going to be a big one, though.
How many more editions of this show do you reckon we're doing this year? What's the over-under?
What do you mean?
Well, obviously, we finish when Geelong finishes. Do you reckon we're still here in mid-September, or are we done by then?
Are we still here in mid-September? Mid-September? No. No. I've got no idea what'll happen tomorrow night.
But I want you to pontificate.
But I'm saying this is what predict. I mean. It's difficult because usually I think I've got a reasonable bearing on Geelong winning or losing. The only game I think where I've got it absolutely horribly wrong where I thought they'd win was Freo.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they'd win that, and they didn't.
Yep.
Every other game, I knew the Gold Coast game, Geelong played poorly, but I knew that was a danger game.
Giants here?
Yeah, the Giants here, I probably thought they'd win that, albeit Giants had been in good form. Once all those players came out from Port, I thought Geelong would be very difficult to beat. I thought that they would probably go all right against Brisbane but lose, which happened.
Well, they didn't go all right. Two teams just played very poorly.
Yeah, they did. I mean, the Cats
one played more poorly than the other.
Yeah, but usually I think my GDAR, which is my Geelong radar,
yeah,
is usually not too bad.
Yep.
Tomorrow night, I've got absolutely no idea. I tapped the radar and it just was on the blink. I pulled out the plug and put it back in to see if it had reset, and it didn't.
The parametric pressure.
No. Well, what do you think will happen?
Tomorrow night?
Yeah.
I think it'll be close.
Yeah?
I think I get beaten.
Yeah, okay. Well, Well, once all those players for Collingwood were out, well, supposedly out, I thought, here's our chance. Mm. If they didn't have Dacos, Adams and Mitchell, I think the Cats...
And side bottom.
Yeah, the Cats suddenly would probably be favourites. Mm. But now that Mitchell and Adams are seemingly back in, Pye's coming off two losses. They're not... Yeah, I don't know. I've got no idea. Mm. It could. You know who could go bananas? Bananas?
Mm-hmm.
Like bananas?
Bananas.
Yeah, do you know who could do that?
Who's that?
The five.
For Collingwood?
No, the Cats.
For the Cats?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
He needs to find
something.
Well,
didn't he kick five against them last year?
Or in round one, you mean?
No, in the final.
He kicked an absolute cracker too.
See, they don't have an obvious matchup. I mean, they've got Howe back now. He's possibly, although they'll probably like to play him a bit more as an offensive defender. They don't have the real obvious matchup for him, do they?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, look, I've got no idea what'll happen tomorrow night.
Got to keep Howe accountable.
They need Dangerfield to play well.
Yep.
If he doesn't play well, I think they'll struggle. Yep. If he was to, I wouldn't say turn back the clock, but if he was to have an influence on the game and then he gets good support from Bruin and Holmes, I think the Cats will be right in it.
Need to keep Howe accountable.
Yep. Keep Howe accountable. And that they'll do the same trying to keep Stewart accountable.
So Howe obviously got very seriously hurt in round one, remember?
He did, yeah.
Over the top of Stengel and
yes.
landed awkwardly. Yes. Great, good to see him back because that was an injury that could have been, that's it for you this year.
Yeah, correct.
The fact he's got back, so incredible effort. I'm looking forward to it, Ben. It should be a cracking game.
I'm looking forward to it too, but I've got no idea what'll happen.
Cats haven't been to the G since losing to Richmond.
I hope the bus driver's got his...
Back in mid-May.
Didn't have his GPS sorted.
Cats actually haven't been to Melbourne for 2.5 months. The last game in Melbourne was the Bulldogs game at the start of June. So the Cats have been either at home or on the road.
Yes.
Over the last 2.5 months.
Well, looking forward to getting back to the G. It's a sellout.
Is it a sellout, is it?
Yeah.
Is it really?
You can't buy tickets.
Wow.
Which is obviously, it's because it's Collingwood home game.
Yes.
I looked up and you couldn't buy any tickets.
Yeah, great.
I'm sure it won't be full, but supposedly
85 to 90. It'll come down to AFL members.
And it's unfortunately the Cats won't see a cent of it.
No.
But what did they get for round one?
I don't know what the dollar figure was. But
no, but what? How many people were there?
Oh, how many? Oh, the crowd.
Yeah.
Police old caller. Round one against the Magpies was 86,595.
Yeah, right. Wow. Okay. Yeah, I was actually very surprised that it was a sellout, to be honest with you. But obviously, there's limited Cat tickets with it being a Collingwood home game.
I think that was the second highest home and away crowd Geelong had played in front of as the home team.
Yeah, right.
I think they played on Queen's birthday. Remember in 89, they played Essendon on the Queen's birthday Monday in front of some ridiculous crowd in an absolute heap of mud.
Yeah, Gaz kicked a heap.
Yeah, and got is that the game where he got reported? Actually, was it against it? No, who was it against? Oh, it was Gary Lyon that he hit.
Gary Lyon he hit. Was that against? He pretended he put his hands up so I didn't do that.
Was that was that same year, I reckon.
Yeah, it was.
But
89, and I remember that mud. They played that final series in the mud. They beat Melbourne too by 76 points.
Yeah, by then the ground had actually picked up because they got beat. They got flogged in the qualifying final by Essendon at the G.
Yeah, by 70 points, yep. And then beat them by 90
in the prelim.
Yeah,
yeah.
And Gaz kicked 9. That's when he danced around Paul Hamilton.
Yeah, he did. You brought that up last week.
He was doing ridiculous things, Gaz, that day. He was extraordinary.
So in 89, just to go down memory lane, they lost by 76 points in front of 75,000 at the G in the qualifying, then beat Melbourne in the wet. By 63 points.
Yeah, I knew it was a big margin.
In front of 69,000.
I was there that day. Yeah.
That was on a Sunday.
Yep.
And then on, you wouldn't picture this happening again. The Essendon prelim final was on a Saturday afternoon, went head to head with the GFL grand final. And the great story out of that
Barry Stoneham.
Was Barry Stoneham and a couple of other Geelong boys going back and celebrating with the St. Joey's boys at the Geelong West
till 6 a.m.
Till well into the
So that was Baz's
preparation
for the grand final to be on the gas till 6 a.m. with the Joey's boys.
I did a documentary for St. Joey's last year, and I did ask Barry Stoneham if you had got home an hour earlier, would that have been the 6-point difference in the grand final? And he giggled to himself. And then 94 points. That's a thumping in a prelim, isn't it? 94, and that's not even the biggest margin ever in a prelim.
That was a celebration that day. Gaz was just on fire. That was the peak of his powers that 4 weeks.
Do you want some of
those? He was doing things that were just not football related.
He's kicked 8-5 from 23 disposals, taken 10 marks. And then Brownless has kicked 4, Stoneham 3, Couch 2, Hocking 2, Butter 2, Robert Scott. Oh, Scott Robert.
Yep.
Kicked 2. Toby kicked 1-4. Busey kicked 1, and David Cameron
kicked 1-1.
There was one change from the preliminary final team to the grand final. Do you know what the change was, Benny? And it was a significant one in terms of what unfolded in the contest.
Bruce Linder came in, didn't he?
No, Linder played in the prelim.
Mark
Yates didn't play in the prelim.
Right.
And he replaced Damien Drum.
Oh, the old fireball. Yeah. We used to call him the fireball.
Number 29.
Yes.
And that was his last ever game for Geelong. He'd only actually played 2 games for the year prior to the prelim and then got brought in for the... He actually played all 3 finals. He hadn't played a game all season and Blighty's brought him in for the qualifying final. And he played 3 finals and then got dropped for the granny.
They were the days.
He played in the
2s.
They
were the days.
And the 2s got rolled.
Well, let's hope the Cats don't get rolled tomorrow night because if they win, I think their percentage in terms of making finals goes through the roof.
And if they lose?
Well, if they lose, I think they can still get there, but they'd be very reliant on... They'd need to, obviously...
Well, they've got to beat St Kilda the week after.
Yeah, they'd have to win their last 2 and rely on other results.
Well, what they'll be hoping for is if they were to lose tomorrow night, beyond that, then they're barracking for results over the weekend.
Yeah.
They're barracking for Richmond to provide an effort. They're barracking for Port Adelaide. They're barracking for Melbourne. And there's one other team in that bottom half of the 8.
Yeah, look, it becomes very reliant.
Who is it? Carlton, St Kilda, the Dogs. They want Hawthorn to produce again.
If they're good enough, they'll get their kingy. Let's be honest. I mean, they've probably got Collingwood. They've got Collingwood at, I don't know if there's ever a right time, but they're clearly not going as well as they were 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. They've got a couple of injuries. Their best player's not playing. They're struggling to kick goals. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they've got Collingwood at a time where if you're good enough, you'll win. That was, you know, that's been my point about, I thought prior to the, some of those players from Port Adelaide coming out of that side, I thought if Port Adelaide are going to go and win the premiership, Geelong are there to be beaten on last Saturday night. Now, Bergman, Finlayson out, and then Dixon out. Okay, Aaliyah, that changes the landscape Aaliyah. A bit. Yeah, well, we already knew Aaliyah was out. Yeah. But those other three are very good players for them. Yeah. So to lose them on the eve of the game probably change the goalposts a bit. But, look, Geelong are good enough, they'll win. Yeah. They've got to find a way to midfield. They need big games from Dangerfield, Bruin, Holmes.
Atkins.
And Atkins. Yep. Those four players play well, I think they'll win.
See you tomorrow night.
Right, yeah. Good luck.
Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.